We start with hymn number 7. Hymn number 7, verses 1 and 2. And if someone can start it, please. Hymn number 7, verses 1 and 2. Loving God and Father, we just cry to thee tonight for anyone in the room tonight who is not saved yet. Our God, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus, thy beloved Son, who came all the way from heaven to become a man, to reveal thy heart, our God, to us. And we just fear if there's anyone here tonight that has rejected thy love, thy offer of salvation to be saved from their sins, that they may accept thee, Lord Jesus, as their own Savior tonight and go on their way rejoicing to be happy before thee, our God, to have peace in their souls for the first time. So we ask for thy help and blessing now, and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'd like to say at the outset of the meeting that the Lord knew that I needed encouragement to be up here tonight. I was up in my room praying a little bit ago, and I glanced at my phone and I got a message from a young man at home. His parents were both saved this summer. He told me today that he got saved. What a joy. We've been praying for this fellow for the summer. Some of the young people that are here tonight have tried to help him along in the things of God. I would just like to say at the outset, if there's somebody here tonight that's not saved yet, and you know the way, you know how to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, do it. Do it now. Don't wait. The time is short. The Lord's coming. We've heard that time after time after time, but it's true. Tonight, you have the opportunity to get saved. You have the opportunity to get saved. Saved by God for all eternity. This afternoon, there was reference to a story in the book of Mark. Now, I'd like to read Mark chapter 12. The first part of the chapter, before I speak on what I would like to talk about tonight. Mark chapter 12 kind of goes along with the reading that we've enjoyed, the readings today. in Hebrews 1. So let's read Mark chapter 12 and the first verse. He, being Jesus, began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set an hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine fat, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And at the season he sent to the husbandmen a servant, that he might receive from the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him and beat him, and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. And I might add here, and pouring gas and lighting them on fire some. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. When I was a little boy, I didn't know too many references for verses, but this was one of the ones that I've never forgotten since I was a little boy. Mark chapter 12. It touched my heart as a boy. Tonight, I don't know how old you are, but does this touch your heart? That God sent his son into this world? And he was taken by people like me, and he was put on a cross to die. Does that affect you at all? Let me put it this way. You might just be a boy or a girl, and you say, I'm just young. Yeah, that's fine. But do you love the Lord Jesus tonight? Do you love him? Can you say that I love the Lord Jesus? And can you say this? He died for me. He gave his life for me. He died on the cross for my sins. Let me ask you something else. Have you ever told anyone? You ever confessed the name of the Lord Jesus? What a joy that is. Do it. Tell others about the Lord Jesus too. You want to be happy? You get a text from somebody that you've been telling about the Lord, and they've come to the Lord Jesus. You want to be happy? Get a text like that. But you got to tell people first. You know what? I'm not making anything of me, but it's such a joy to see somebody go from darkness and sin and drugs and drinking to salvation, with an eternal destiny in the glory. Can you say that? I'm going there. I'm going there because of Christ. Because he died on the cross for me. And if you can't say that tonight, that he died for me, then accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And then you're going to go too. What a wonderful privilege to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's somebody here and you don't know where you're going when you leave this world, you don't have a clue, you're not sure, come to the Lord Jesus tonight just as you are. He knows every sin that you've ever done, every thought you've ever had in opposition to God. Tell him that you're a sinner and ask him to take those sins away. Believe that when he died on the cross, he died for you. When his blood was shed, it was shed for you to wash away your wicked sins Oh, what a relief to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I spoke about this boy. Young man, 20 years old. Perhaps you're 20 tonight. Are you saved? Caleb said about 150 young people or whatever the number was, I forget. Is everybody saved among the young people at this conference? And if you're saved, are you happy in here? And if you're not happy in here, why not? The Lord Jesus in love wants your affection. But if there's things that you've allowed in your life that are between you and the Lord and robbing you of your joy and delight in Him, tell Him about it. Go to Him. Lay them all out and then you can be happy. You know, that's why we're here. To be encouraged to follow the Lord Jesus in our life. To be happy and joyful and fruitful for God. I want to turn to some verses in the book of Luke chapter 23. We sang in hymn number 7, Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. I want to spend just a few minutes talking about someone who turned to the Lord Jesus just before he died. I've heard this portion spoken of on so many times, just like we heard Luke 15 again today. It was a joy again. And this story, I trust, will touch our hearts again. You know, I just want to read from verse 33, Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, it's only mentioned in our English Bibles at this one verse. There they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be this king of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Now let's turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Verse 34. They gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him. And parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Notice this verse. "The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is to say, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" We'll stop there for now. Let's turn back to Luke chapter 23. We've just read about the scene of Calvary. A scene that is horrible. The crucifixion of the very Son of God. But it's a beautiful scene to me, as the Lord Jesus came from heaven to die on Calvary's cross for me. Tonight, can you say that? He died for me. He took my sins. He was paid for me. He paid for me so that I can go to heaven, that I can be blessed eternally. Oh, is there somebody here tonight? And I won't ask you to raise your hand. If you had to raise your hand and say, "I'm not ready to go. I'm not saved." Is there somebody that would have to raise their hand tonight? In your heart, are you raising your hand before God saying, "I'm not ready. I'm not saved"? There's no reason for that. Tonight you can get saved right where you are. You need to be saved to go to heaven, to go to the glory, to have your sins forgiven. I've pondered the expression so many times: go to hell. Is there somebody that's going to hell here tonight? You say, "Not going to hell." Are you saved? If you're not saved, that's where you're going. If you're on your way to hell, that can be changed right now. Come to the Lord Jesus and get on your way to heaven now through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here we have the story of these two thieves. And you know, each of the Gospels gives a little different input on this little scene of these two men. One was on the left and one was on the right. You know, I read an article in the Christian a while ago, and the author said, you know, that he thought that maybe the center cross had been prepared for Barabbas. I never thought of that before. But the evil heart of man prepared the cross for Jesus. And they wanted him to look bad, so they put one thief here, one there. And they put the Lord Jesus in the midst. In the midst. So glad the Lord Jesus went to the cross for me. Can you say that? Can you say you love the Lord Jesus for going to the cross for me? You know, it's a very personal thing and it's very simple. It is simple. You don't have to be very old to know what love is. And this is the manifestation of the love of God right here. His son dying for me. That's the manifestation of the love of God. The nails through his hands and through his feet. You know, I didn't read it with very much emotion, but you can. Those things that were said by the chief priests, by the scribes, by those who walked by, and by the thieves. They cast the same in his teeth. Have you ever had anything go in your mouth? I remember being at a hockey game, sitting on the bench. One of the guys on the same team as me, he got the puck right in the mouth. His teeth came out onto the ice. I heard them rattling around. But that's not what this means. Think of the thieves for a minute. Think of the one on the left and one on the right. And they're gasping for their breath. And between breaths, they have a conversation with the Lord Jesus. They revile him too. And then the Holy Spirit of God reveals to one of those thieves that there's an opportunity for him to be part of the kingdom that the Lord Jesus is going to have someday in this world. And so there was a change in that man. He changed from being one who insulted, who brought terrible things to the Lord Jesus, to one who was guilty, from one who was guilty to casting things in the teeth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to a saved one who could say, Lord, Lord, remember me. Have you cried to the Lord? Have you said, Lord? You need to if you haven't. Tonight is your opportunity. Don't wait. I spent half an hour the other day walking on the hillside over here somewhere in Los Angeles looking for two grave markers. There were thousands of them. Very few had Bible verses on them. But we got to my wife's grandmother. It says, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. What will your grave marker say? Will it say that? If you have to leave this world and be buried before the Lord comes? Her grandfather was next. Then her sister said, well, you know, why don't we go and find our aunt's marker? So we went on another walk through the graveyard. And there's thousands of markers. We had a little app on the phone that showed approximately the number and where it might be. We walked around for a while and then my sister-in-law found the grave of the lady that she was named after. You know what it said? Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Oh, what a relief. What a relief. The hundreds of ones I walked along and looked at name after name after name, and there was one or two others that had Bible verses. But here's one. Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. When the Lord Jesus comes, she's going to go. Where are you going to go when you leave this world? You going to go to be with Christ, which is far better? Or are you going to go to hell? That's the choice. I say that on the authority of this book. Don't fool young people. Life is real. And life is earnest. It's very important that you know where you're going. You know, I do a little work on Saturdays at home. It's a big facility. It's run by the county. It's their biggest expense in the whole county is running this retirement home. At the back of the retirement home is a whole bunch of people who can't think anymore. They can't think. They don't have any, their minds. In the front part of the retirement home, there are people who can think partly. Some days they can, some days they can't, and they can think some people better than others. And then there's a few people that are very sharp in their old age. And I was just thinking about this. You know, there's so many people who have no idea where they're going when they leave this world. But Satan is clever. And there's a whole bunch of people in that retirement home that probably had no idea where they were going when they leave this world, but they can't do anything about it because they can't think anymore. And there's a whole bunch of other people who can only think some of the time. Tonight you can think. You can understand these verses that we've had. But have you come to the Lord Jesus? Have you said, okay, I've sinned. I want to be forgiven and I'm sorry. Just come to the Lord Jesus. It's simple. Even a little child of 7 or even 3 or 4 may enter into heaven through Christ, the open door. The door is open tonight. Won't you come? Well, I want to turn over to the book of John 19, John chapter 19. Verse 17, John 19, 17. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. And two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made 4 parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture did they cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. Now here's more of the story of these thieves. Back in Luke, we read about how the Lord Jesus said today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And as knowing everything, as God, the Lord Jesus knew, that he was going to give up the ghost that very day. He also knew that these soldiers were going to come and break the legs of that thief and usher him into eternity immediately from suffocation. You can look it up online. I did the other day. Crucifixion. Look it up and see what it says. It's terrible. It's one of the worst ways of killing somebody you don't like. You know, the religious authorities were very glad to see the Lord Jesus crucified that day. They hated him without a cause. You know, these thieves, they received the due reward of their deed. They were thieves. You know, in Mr. Darby's translation, it calls them, I think in Matthew, robbers. Look up that online. You know, stealing something is one thing, but doing it brutally is another. These men were brutal. They were robbers and thieves. They knew they were guilty. And don't we know that? That we're guilty before God? Do you know that? Think about the things that you've thought about this week alone. I remember hearing a preacher say if they were all the things that he had done were written on that wall, he'd run out of the room, and so would you. And God knows every one of them. Well, God knew that this thief would be with him. And is that your portion? To be with Christ someday? It may be today. Is that your portion? Or do you not know? Are you hoping that somehow you'll make it and it isn't true? You know, our brother just told us how many stars they think that there may be. How big God is? Way bigger than we can even imagine. And we think that he doesn't know what we did yesterday? That we thought about the day before? Are we kidding ourselves? Is there somebody here and you don't believe this? That the Lord Jesus died on the cross for you and that God is willing to forgive you tonight? Oh, please come to him tonight. Accept the Lord Jesus as your own Savior. Now just think for a minute of this scene. The Lord Jesus had bowed his head in death. Thief one is struggling for breath, but he knows the Lord Jesus. Thief two, he's struggling for breath, but he has no hope. Which thief are you? Do you know the Lord Jesus, or do you have no hope? No harbor waiting. No hope for eternity. Perhaps there's somebody here tonight, you have no hope. You don't know where you're going. You don't have the Lord Jesus. Be like thief number one. Come to him in all your need. And you say, well, I have lots of time. I don't need to come. You know, I've heard this all my life, that the Lord Jesus is going to come. You know, this thief and this thief, they were looking for their next breath. They knew that they weren't going to live very much longer. Then they saw the soldiers coming with the big clubs, and they knew it was over. You may not have that opportunity to know when you're going to leave this world. You know, one of the guys that I know really well, he said, you know, it used to matter to me what happened in the world, but he said, since I've accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior, I have peace in here. I have peace in my heart. All the things in the world can go on. He says, I care about my family. I care about my job. I care what happens to the country I live in. Yeah, I do care, but I'm going to glory. So if something bad happens to me, it's okay. I'm going to be with the Lord. Can you say that tonight? If something happens to me, I'm going. My trust, my prayer, is that if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that you will tonight. Come to him in all your need. Let's sing the third stanza now of number 7. Someone start it, please. Like to tell a little story before we're done. This is a story that is very dear to me because it's about my dad. And my dad is in heaven with the Lord Jesus right now. What about you? The Lord Jesus, if your life is over, where are you going to be? I know where my dad is. He's with Christ, which is far better. And I'm thankful for my dad. He was a good dad. But he suffered a lot in the last dozen or so years of his life. And so the far better is very, very clear to me. He had Parkinson's disease and he was paralyzed on one side. So if you can imagine shaking on one side of your body violently, at times my mom would take him and use a beach towel to take the sweat off his body after a couple hours of shaking. He suffered a lot. But I want to tell you about my dad when he got saved. My dad was 17 years old when he got saved. And his aunt was Pearl Hale, married to Gordon Hale. Many of you remember Gordon Hale. So once a year, Gordon Hale would bring Pearl home to see her parents. And so my dad's family would just go out of courtesy to the gospel meeting that Gordon would have. So my dad would just go and every year. And then when he was 17, he got saved. What a wonderful thing. Except my grandma wasn't saved. So my dad came downstairs to go to meeting the next Lord's Day. And my grandma says, "Clayton, you're not going, are you?" He said, "Yeah, Mom, I got saved." And you know, when I got saved, my parents were happy. When my dad got saved, my grandma was mad, was upset. My dad didn't have the privilege of growing up in a Christian home like I did. And boys and girls, like you've got, what a privilege. So my dad says, "I got saved." My aunt, who is a little older than him, said, "Well, guess what? I'm going too," because she'd got saved. And then his younger sister said, "And I'm going too." And the three of them got in the car. My dad drove them to meeting. So time went on a little bit, and I just heard this story a couple of weeks ago, so that's why I want to tell it. It's a tremendous encouragement to me. So my grandma, who was later brightly saved and was a dear Christian lady, they went over to one of her brother's homes. And her brother wasn't a Christian, and he made fun of my dad and my two aunts. And he started asking them all questions, really difficult questions to answer for new believers. And he made fun of them. But over on the window ledge was a little 12-year-old girl. And my dad, feebly, and my aunts, feebly, opened their Bibles, read verses to this man that was making fun of them, this little 12-year-old girl. She was sitting there taking in every word, and she got saved. "What will it take for you to get saved, boys, girls? What will it take?" You know, it took my dad to be ridiculed for his little sister to get saved. Was it worth it? Yeah, it was worth it. Aunt Lila, you know her. Christensen. Enola Assembly. Going on for years and years. Why? Because my dad had the courage to witness for Christ. Do we have the courage to do that? I was thinking, just sitting back there today, what if all of us had the courage to tell other people about the Lord? What if each one of us had the joy of bringing one person to the Lord this year? Think how full the room would be. Think how full the room would be. What if we had done it the last year, and the year before, and the year before, and the year before? May it be encouragement, brother. Let's tell others about the Lord Jesus. Now, one last thing. Why did my dad not grow up in a Christian home? Remember, I said Aunt Pearl was his aunt. Pearl Hale, right? So My grandfather was raised in a Christian home. My great-grandfather, my great-great-grandfather, they came to the assembly. So I said to Aunt Pearl, and my grandfather was a believer, but he stopped coming to meeting. I said to Aunt Pearl, I said, Aunt Pearl, how come my grandpa stopped coming to meeting? She put her head down. And you know what she said? She said, sometimes, Paul, when there's trouble in the assembly, it affects the young people. I say that, brethren, because I love you. You know, I've learned in my life, through trials that I have had and difficulties, that the Lord gives us an opportunity in his love to draw nearer to him. And that's a tremendous opportunity. We need those things, those trials, to bring us near to him, to love our brethren more. But you know, a lot of times, people go the other way, away from the Lord. And may it be that each one of us will draw near to him. Take the opportunities to be near to him. And if there's somebody that's not saved, tonight, come to Christ. He's the best Lord there is. There's no better Lord. Lord, remember me. You know what? That thief couldn't do a thing except he was there when all around were making fun of the Lord Jesus and laughing at him and making fun of him. There was one man who believed him. That's our privilege, to follow that same man, the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Our loving God and our Father, thou hast heard what we have said tonight, the presentation feebly of the Lord Jesus, thy beloved Son, the one who died so that we could be saved. And we just would pray that there would be nobody here tonight that would be on their way to hell still, but that they would come, Lord Jesus, to thee, to know that they're going to heaven by accepting thee as their precious Savior, to realize that the precious blood of Christ will wash away their sins, every one of them. And now we just pray that thou might help us to go on as believers. For those of us who are, that we might tell others humbly, and that we would walk with thee, our God, that we would turn to thee in all our need and seek to be an encouragement to one another, to have joy and happiness in our souls. We look forward to thy soon return, Lord Jesus. Thou hast promised to come again and receive us unto thyself. And so we ask thee for thy blessing now, and we commit the evening to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.